of the things that those of us who have been at Monte Vista for a few years realize is just how magnificent God is and His blessings to us as a congregation of His people. The growth here, I think, has been astounding. It's certainly been unusual. And in that process of growth, we've had Christians that have moved from other places in the country and after examination decided to work and worship with the group here. The Judys were that way. The Moors were that way. Just over and over this has happened. And when that happens, we sing number 47. And we do that for a specific reason. Not because we're traditionally oriented, even though we may be traditionally oriented. We do that for two specific purposes. One, to sing from our hearts praise to God for His blessings. And two, to show from our heart just how happy we are to have people like Cheryl Hastings from Valparaiso, Indiana, come and worship with us. Cheryl is the one that has her hand up. Cheryl has her hand up. I don't see Cheryl. There we go. Cheryl is a very shy person. We're glad that you're here. Number 47. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is real, He's so real to me. He saved my soul, He saved my soul, He saved my soul, and He made me whole. Like you mean it. I praise His name, I praise His name, I praise His name, He's so good to me. Well, thanks for being a part of our family, Cheryl. Brother Cravens, at the outset of our lesson, read about a caring person. You and I, in our Bible studies, refer to that text as the Good Samaritan. And you might notice in the 34th verse of chapter 10 in Luke, in describing the action of that Samaritan, the Bible says, and He took care of him. Care means more than just serious mental attention. The priest and the Levite gave the situation serious mental attention. In fact, it redirected their steps. They crossed the street so as not to become involved in helping the one who lay there. Caring means more than anxiety, even though certainly many times anxiety is a part of the caring process. Caring means to offer protection. Caring, insofar as the Bible is concerned, means to help to preserve or persevere. Caring means to offer guidance. At times, caring even means to offer provision. When you and I really care for someone, we look for opportunities to show that care. In fact, it is disappointing at times when those for whom we care reject our help because of wanting to be independent and do things for themselves. We want to exhibit our love and our concern, and that often happens with aged parents. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter and verse 7, we see where the Bible tells us the two sides of care by definition. Casting all your care, that's anxiety and worry, on Him, for He careth, that's seeking your best interest, for He careth for you. Certainly, every step that we take, every breath that we make is a statement, is a validation of God's care for us. I would suggest to you today, as we talk about caring, that humanity has no problem caring. The problem that we have is caring for the wrong things. You and I know that Hebrews 5 and verse 7 says that it is appointed once for man to die. You and I know that 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7 says that for we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out either. But then the devil gets into our life and he tricks us to forgetting those truths. And consequently, at times through self-examination, we find ourselves caring too much for those physical things that are not as important as those spiritual things. I believe that you could ask any spiritually minded person if they've ever come to the point where they found that their priorities are out of line, and that they would say yes. We find from time that our priorities gravitate toward the physical because we're so exposed to that with the preponderance of our time, and we overemphasize worldly things. We long for happiness through temporal status, and that's not where happiness is. The kind of happiness that God offers us is found in a relationship about God and man, not about things and man. In Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life." And thus, we know that we should be careful about giving too much time or thought to anything without a spiritual end. What is it that Christians care about? What is it that God directs us to place our care attention to? First of all, to family and friends. Physical relationships provide great opportunity for caring. By showing respect and regard for our parents, we grow in the faith. By appreciating and loving our siblings, we are able to influence one another toward good. These things are brought about by commandment of God, the kind of interpersonal relationship with family and friends. Family, by its very nature, is tolerant of weaknesses, is long-suffering of imperfections, is slow to condemn idiosyncrasies because we care about one another. And the same is true with friends. We've all said, I think, from time to time, that he or she is just like family. She's just like a mom to me. Sometimes it seems that friends even care more about us than our family. They excuse our faults and they notice and compliment our strong points or our good points. And it seems they really care what happens to us. Certainly, Christians should be the best friend that you could have. A Christian should be the best family member that you could have. Because a Christian should be a caring individual. But not only should we care about family and friends, you and I should care about the body of Christ. It's a heavy concern for a Christian when congregations of the Lord's people apostatize. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, there is daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. I don't take that to mean that just because the Apostle Paul was inspired that he had some special care of the ones of the churches that he helped organize. I believe as a Christian that Paul had concern about the churches of the Lord. I'm not sure that we live in a time that's different with regard to the devil's attack upon the church than times past. But we certainly live in a time where the devil does make attack, frontal attack, upon the Lord's body. We see signs of weakness and worldliness, and in places they take over the Lord's church. They make it things that it should not be. We see tides of immodesty within the body of Christ where those standards of dress and talk and actions so commonly taught in times past have been moved to the back burner, and society led by the devil has taken charge. And we care about that. We see preachers turning their back on truth and teaching that there are saved people in all denominations. And it is simply not taught in the Bible. Sometimes convenience has overcome conviction. And those things that are widespread, such as divorce and remarriage, are put under the rug and not mentioned or talked about for the sake of growth. And it ought not to be. And faithful Christians care about the Lord's church and its acceptance of those kinds of things. Every Christian that sits in this place today has a unique interaction within the framework of a congregation of the Lord's people. 150 or so have a unique interaction with the congregation of the Lord's people that's called the Monte Vista Church of Christ. And I ask you to ask yourself, what legacy are you leaving? When your time is past, should the Lord allow the world to exist, when time is past that you are a part of the congregation, will it be better because of those things you did, because you cared about it, or will it not? The time to make that happen is now, not after a while. And all of those things are motivated because we care about the church, the cause of Christ. The one who cared the most was Jesus Christ. Christians can develop a more caring spirit by dwelling on the fact that Jesus cared. It is almost embarrassing, at least to me, at times when I don't care enough to make the comparison between what he gave and what I'm giving. It's always humbling to listen to the comments that are made before the partaking of the Lord's Supper about the commitment that Jesus Christ made, isn't it? As we have this quiet time to reflect. And that care that's generated by those kinds of circumstances, those kinds of activities, the care that is generated in that should make us better Christians. Should make us easier to get along with. It should make our light shine brighter to those that we're around in the world. And it should make us more hopeful of heaven. The care that we have. The care to do spiritually what the Samaritan did physically. And take a personal responsibility with regard to circumstances that come into view in our lives. When Jesus hung on the cross, he was beaten and he was spat upon. And he took it because he cared. When he hung on the cross, he was taunted and ridiculed, and he endured it because he cared. When the crown of thorns were pushed onto his brow, and the blood trickled down his face, he meekly bore it because he cared. Those kinds of things are not easy to think about. We shudder when we remember the words of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians in talking about the remembering of Jesus, that we not be held guilty again of his blood. That says to me that once we were guilty. Imagine the impact. If you have children, imagine the impact of someone being guilty of the blood of your child. And imagine the emotion and the strength that it takes to rise above that and put into effect a plan that absolves the guilt of the guilty. Imagine coming to the point of forgiveness that God has, which invites us to spend eternity in his presence, though we're guilty of the blood of his Son. Imagine that. When God made man, he made man in his own image. That's not physical. It's spiritual. We think. We act. We have a process of spirituality within us that is like unto God. So then, if I would have difficulty in overcoming the feelings surrounding the taking of my son, why would not God have those same feelings concerning the taking of his son? He does. But yet he invites us. and we can boil it down to one word. But that word, though it's small, cannot be small in our lives. That word is care. Jesus cared. God cared. The Holy Spirit cared. Enough for Chad and Ken to issue those things that bring about to us hope. So then I would suggest to you that the subject of caring is important. The mental process of understanding what caring is and developing that in one's life is important. When Jesus was suspended between heaven and earth, he begged his Father, as we heard a moment ago, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." We looked at those things that define care in our lesson. So then the question becomes natural and it becomes important. Did Jesus protect you through his blood? Protection is a part of caring. Did Jesus persevere for us? Did Jesus guide us through his sinless example? Does he provide for us a rest? I asked Brother Johnson to lead that song, "Does Jesus Care?" I think that that song has become a funeral song. But I would suggest to you that it's a life song. For as those words run through our heart, the blessings are great in our lives. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song, as the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? And then our lips mouth the words, "Oh yes, he cares, I know. He cares." When we ask ourselves, "Do I really care?" Titus, the 3rd chapter and verse 8, comes into play. There the Bible says, this is a trustworthy statement, "And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men." Be careful to engage in good deeds. Many good deeds are not convenient nor easy, but we must be careful to engage in good deeds. My prayer for us today is to put into play whatever we have to within our frame of mind to think about for a little bit longer than just while here in the building the caring nature we should have for one another. I have never been associated with a people where so many do so much to show their care for other people than there are at this place. But not everyone is involved. But we can be, if we care. Take out the songbook that you have before you and turn to the song that's been given as a song of invitation. We are accustomed to having prerequisites for those things of importance. But the young man I met this morning that's moving to Phoenix to go to work for American Express, I know that there were prerequisites that preceded the decision to move, or the decision of American Express to ask him to move. There were prerequisites. And it would have been harmful to the whole course of activity if he had said, look, no prerequisites, I don't want any of that, just start sending me the check. Right, that would have happened. When the Lord set forth a system of salvation, he laid forth some prerequisites. That's not unusual. He gave us a revelation called the Bible. He said, I want you to believe that that's from me. It's a prerequisite. One cannot become a Christian unless one believes that the Word of God is in fact the Word of God. He said, I want you to repent of your sins. He even goes into detail about what motivates that repentance, godly sorrow, what it is, a change. He says, I want you to do, you can't be a Christian unless you repent. He said, I want you to acknowledge me before men. He goes into detail about that. He said, publicly with your mouth, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, I want you to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. He goes into detail about that baptism. It's a burial, we learn in other places in his word. And then he tells us the result of those prerequisites being accomplished. In Acts, the second chapter, in verse 47, he adds those to his body. So if you'd like to be in the body of Christ, you need to accomplish the prerequisites. The same as accomplishing the prerequisites to be an employee of American Express. That's not traditional, that's commanded. Our prayer for you today is that if you're not a Christian, that you've studied the Word of God and found what the prerequisites are, and that you'll give your life to Christ by coming forward while we stand and sing.